With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
We do it each and every day. We go on the sidelines with the dogs. It's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Yeah, man, Brightbox Electrical, the elevated electricians. Put it on a post-it note and call them sometime, won't you? 770-901-2500. They can get that man cave set up for you to watch your favorite sports. Man, these guys are money.
Now, before we get in-depth into what's going on with the dogs, it is an off week, guys. Obviously, the week before the Florida game, which is traditionally the case, and we'll let you hear what Kirby had to say about Justin Fields and what they're trying to get accomplished with this off week. But I was just telling Mike, I don't know how many of you guys do this, but, you know, if you have kids and whatnot, maybe you decide I'm going to get the flu shot. Mike seems to have a side effect to everything. So yes. I just asked him, and I actually had forgotten. I said, did you get the flu shot? And your answer was?
No, I'm the human side effect, so I'll always get a reaction, and I'll be miserable for a day, and then I'll get the flu a few months later anyway. So I just roll the dice and snuffleupagus. I'll be sniffling and I'll just fight through it. But no, sir, I do not.
Well, I think it was last year. Real quick, it was like one of the worst flu seasons ever. Right. And it went longer than expected. And I actually didn't get it last year. But this year, I took my daughter to the doctor yesterday and I ended up getting a flu shot because she got one. My damn arm is still hurting. I mean, I got it in my left arm. My arm is, I can barely lift it. I'm like, is this normal? What's going on here?
I mean, it depends on the person giving you the shot. Now, some people can hit a piece of muscle, which reacting, or it gets near a nerve or something. So it all depends on the person that's giving the shot. Yes, you can be in a miserable pain from getting a needle in the arm. Believe me. When I had that rotator cuff, now I got to get the other one done. And I went in there, and they tried to put the cortisone shot in there. And the nurse like, I'm having a hard time getting into the muscle.
Oh.
And I'm like, so let me get the bigger, the words you never want to hear. Let me get the bigger needle. So something they'd use on like Secretariat, they pull that sucker out. And I'm like, literally, I'm like, you know what? I mean, forget it. This is why I don't go to the doctor for anything. I just don't want to deal with it.
I can't lie. I'm a big baby when it comes to needles. I mean, my daughter's making fun of me. The nurse is about to give me the shot. And I'm like, I'm not looking. She goes, sir, the needle is this big. I mean, it's like an inch long. And I'm like, I don't want to see it. So I just wondering, man, I got that flu shot. I hate being sick, guys. I know everybody does. But, we all go through it. But I just, and maybe it's something you don't believe in. Mike, I remember my dad, real quick. He would say, I'm not getting that shot. I don't think it works.
Again, it's not psychosomatic. You can ask anybody. I am the, ask Dr. Bobby Kaufman, my doctor. I am the human side effect. You know, I'm supposed to take cholesterol medication, it makes my voice scratchy. My voice is my instrument. So I'm doing all this holistic crap and vitamins. And anyway, let's hope that Coach Cheney has taken some ginkgo biloba to get smarter with the playbook.
All right, before we get into what Kirby says, let's talk about Jim Cheney for a second. Because I know that is where you place the blame for the LSU game. And I think you're right on when you talk about changing the game plan or at least going away from what was working.
Well, players got to block. Offensive line, we knew there were going to be some disadvantages because they're young guys getting plugged in. And LSU's got the best athletes of anyone Georgia had played up until last Saturday. So we knew there was going to be some ups and downs. We knew that LSU was going to be able to get some plays against our defense, when I say our Georgia's, because of the things we've seen against Vandy and Mizzou. But there's things you can't control. Like the run game is working. So before everyone freaks out about the Fields and Fromm dynamic, or you try the crazy field goal, as we said yesterday, why don't you just run the ball? Run the ball till LSU makes an attempt to stop it, and wouldn't that open things up for Fromm? You had him thrown in some really tight windows.
I agree. Fromm, by the way, is 18-3 as a starter. But I will remind you that Jalen Hurts had 127 in a row, and it didn't matter. So, yes, Fromm's a starter. I get it. But this is a conversation only because, as we discussed it yesterday and trying to get to the bottom of what the problem was or why he was used in such an ineffective way, and we're talking about Justin Fields, Coach comes out, and I want you to hear what he said at his presser about, are you going to try to find ways to expand Justin Fields' role?
Justin's growing. Justin's getting better each and every day. I think his maturity is getting better in the meeting room. He's picking things up. He's developing. He's certainly eager to get that opportunity, and he continues to progress and do things in practice, and those opportunities may present themselves. We're never closing that door completely at all because we got to play the guy that gives the best chance to win.
Okay. And if you missed that last part, we're never closing the door because we got to play the best guy that gives us the chance to win. That's from Kirby Smart. And, you know, Mike, when you talk about Fromm, and I'm just giving you the numbers here, you know, ranks third in the SEC in pass efficiency. With 77 completions, he's got 1,124 yards, 8 touchdowns. But against LSU, he took several sacks. You said it. Guys have to still block. They didn't do a good job of that. He finished the game with minus 19 rushing yards, and that was because of the sacks that he gave that they gave up. So we've said this. This wasn't a great game for Fromm. He would tell you that. It wasn't a great game for the O-line up front. But this gets back to and this is what I'm trying to explain to people because I think some people have misheard or we're being misrepresented in a way here when we talk about Fields. If you need a spark, okay, how do you get that? And in most cases in college football, that comes from your quarterback.
Right. I'm with you. And I thought that by now they would have had a series, a complete package, and not just a play where everybody knows he's going to run the ball. You know, it's a run pass option, sort of. It's just, you know, it's just Fields holding onto the football. He's never going to be dropping back to throw it. I wanted to see him in the shotgun where he does a little RPO, and then I want to see this guy utilize his skills. Here's the thing. And we really haven't talked about this week as people have been freaking out over Fields versus Fromm. Kirby said in that soundbite, if you listen very closely, learning more, getting
– developing.
So if he's not grasping – and this is not an insult because you never want to get in like, well, you can't handle the playbook. But if the guy's not where he needs to be in handling or learning this new playbook compared to what he had at Harrison, you're never going to say that as a coach. That makes it sound like a dump, you know, a dummy. And you can dump it on your guy. So – I don't think if Kirby, number one, is going to protect his guys, but it's not the answer the fans want because fans want to see the more athletic stud out there because they've seen other teams find a way to get those guys out there making plays.
It's a great point, Mike. And when you talk about, you know, what's the reason? A guy hit me up today, says, Dukes, what if he's just not practicing the way they want him to? He's getting the reps. But, Dukes, what if Fields, because we don't know this, it's a close practice, what if he's not completing the things that they want him to get done, and then you get into a game situation and you go, well, Coach, he hadn't done it all week, or he hadn't done it the last 2 weeks. Now, this is the element that neither Mike and I, or I don't think a lot of Georgia fans are aware of.
Right.
But that's the rub right now.
Look, Tagovailoa, I mean, did anybody, other than the hardcore Alabama fans, know what Tagovailoa was about?
No.
And I mean, he came out there, and why didn't Saban pull the trigger with him earlier in the year? You know when they were down against Miss State last season? Because during practice, in addition to throwing unbelievable frozen ropes and making passes that nobody else can make, he threw a lot of picks. So if Fromm, or I should say Fields, is struggling, and maybe not up to snuff with the things that Kirby feels comfortable with, dropping him in Tiger Stadium, you know, in that environment with those linebackers and those DBs, maybe that wasn't the way to go either.
All right, Kirby also talking about what he's trying to tell his guys. This is an off week, as we said. The preparation doesn't stop, though.
This is your opportunity to leapfrog a guy. This is your opportunity. We're getting three groups of reps. We're getting a lot of reps out there this week to where we can say, okay, how far has Chris Smith come? How far has D'Angelo Gibbs come? How far has Justin Schaefer come? And we're getting a lot of guys' reps to get better. That's how you improve your team. It's how you improve your program from the bottom up. You get tons of reps, and you just get to work. We did that today.
Now, I'm not going to we're not going to get in depth today on this Florida matchup. We've got all next week to do it. But don't sleep on Florida. Right? That's kind of a given. But I think everybody thought, Mike, this was going to be a down year with Dan Mullen taking over. They lost one game. They've been in all their games. And I got to tell you, they are better than what I thought they would be at this point.
Three guys that can run the ball. P. Ryan can do it. And they've also got Felipe Franks who can also, you know, move outside the pocket.
He's playing better.
And also Dan Mullen knows how to use a quarterback like that. You know, the way the great Shark Humper apparently wasn't prepared to, or Franks wasn't grasping what he was throwing out there. The defense isn't as good as other Florida defenses, but it's better than what Georgia's been seeing. You know, it's better than what Mizzou had. It's not as good as LSU, but they also beat LSU in the Swamp. So, look, you know the drill. Half the stadium's going to be orange and blue. The other half's going to be red and silver and black. So there's still going to be some payback because, I mean, some Florida fans felt that, look, Georgia just beat the crap out of Florida in every way you could imagine last year in the cocktail party, which in my 20 years in Atlanta doesn't happen very often. So we'll see. I think this is going to be a little bit closer than last year, but I think Georgia still wins.
Yeah, it wasn't – they didn't run the score up, though, last year. That was just a function of how good Georgia was, and you saw it. They got to the national championship. It wasn't like, oh, we're just going to score because we can't. You're putting in second and third. Mike, think back to that game. I mean, Sony Michel, he was running free all game. Chubb was running free. Right. It was just the function of how good Georgia was. I don't know if this Georgia team is as good as that one. And as of what I saw last week, I don't think defensively they are. So you're right. It probably will be a closer game. But we're going to break it down a lot coming up next week. But I just point out, to Kirby's point about getting ready, This is not one of those, well, all right, we're going to beat up on Florida like we did last year. I don't think it's going to be that way.
I just don't understand how you don't run the ball more in whatever your next game is. In this case, it's Florida in a week. You should have ran. Why did you think throwing the ball against one of the better defensive backs, you know, they've got good ones at LSU. They'll
Gritty?
Go to the NFL.
Gritty?
Yeah, I mean, why didn't you commit? I mean, I put this one on Chaney more than I put it on the players themselves. But, yeah, man, in the game last year, 292 yards of rushing for the Georgia Bulldogs. Sony, Nick, Holyfield had a touchdown as well. I mean, it was like a video game.
It really was. Hey, it's our dog report, guys. We go on the field with the sidelines with the dog, should I say, brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Brightbox Electrical, man. Backup generators, because look at all the folks that could use one right now in the panhandle or wherever you've seen storms this year. Call them up, 770-901-2500. You never even know when the power goes off. I think it clicks right on.
By the way, real quick about Fields. And even Fromm last year. Remember, he didn't get to speak to the media? This is why. This is why. Fromm last year, when he took over, he didn't get to talk to us. He didn't get to take questions. He's a freshman. Justin's in the same position. And this is why. Because can you imagine if he was? He'd be getting these same questions. And who knows how his answers would be. Maybe he'd be telling the truth. Maybe he'd be, you know, a little slighted that he's not seeing more time. Either way, this is the reason why. Because it causes less conflict. And, you know, now Fromm is addressing the media, and obviously he's the starter, and Justin will get an opportunity to do that next year. But, Mike, I was just thinking about this because everybody's like, well, we haven't heard from Justin, and you won't.
Nope, that's the thing, guys. And maybe better off in the long run, but certainly Fields is a guy that people are going to continue to talk and ask about because people know what this kid's about. If you're not familiar with him, if you're not a dog fan, and we know the majority of our listeners are, just go on YouTube or be Googling Fields highlights, and you see this guy making every kind of play imaginable. And that's why everybody in the country wanted this guy.
6'3", 220 pounds.
He even had his own pre-signing video, which a website which was following his progress that was cheesily promoted by voiceover actors.
Yeah, all right, man.
This Justin Fields, best dual-threat quarterback in the country.
We're going to give you our picks officially on Friday. We'll be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We invite you guys to come out 2-7 and come hang out with us. Our Hey Man Ale will be on draft for you to enjoy, and we certainly want to get a chance to meet you, say hello, but more importantly, just get a chance to hang out with you guys at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. I bring that up only because the picks, boy, this week, man, I don't know. What are you thinking?
We're struggling. And by the way, we have a rule on this show. If you add up our scores, if we ever combine get below 10 games under 500, the pick segment is over.
It's done.
So we're getting perilously close, amigo. Andy Bunker did you no favors?
None.
I phoned mine in on Friday, but yeah, we need to get this thing turned around. I know Fricky's been kicking butt on the, John Chuckery, who does a great Fricky impression. Chuckery's been doing a great job with picks on the weekends. But yeah, we might have to go to him and make him a designated picker because you and I have been struggling.
Yeah, going 500 or, you know, a game under 500 is not what we want to do.
Well, you're not making anybody any money.
Nope.
We want to be able to come in here like big swinging blanks and be like, hey, here's your lock of the week, Joe. Got 100, bet 200. And the college games have been killing us.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the deal, Mike. There's parity. That's why. They're hard to predict.
And by the way, we don't just talk about these games. We bet these games, or at least I do, in the Green Bay game, for instance, on Monday night.
Yeah.
-9.
I'm still mad about that.
You know, because I sound like a genius. Well, you know, guys, get it down from 10 to 10 and a half. Tease it down to 9. And then they win by 3. And for those who don't know, that means 6 more points you didn't get, so you don't win anything. You lose.
The way Vandy played against Florida, you think Kentucky loses this week? It's Vandy at Kentucky. It's a 7:30 game. I'm just bringing that up because they're on the dog schedule.
Brother,
coming forward.
When you're at Kroger Field in the checkered end zone, you better strap it on, pal. You don't know about the pass. No, they're fired up. This is, look, you win 8 games in Kentucky, you can run for governor. So I think Mark Stoops and company, they're excited and they're going to win that game.
I do too. NC State, Clemson, we're just laying out there. Alabama gets Tennessee. Tennessee, by the way, looked a lot better.
Right.
Last week, I don't think they're good as Alabama.
I think that's a byproduct. Remember, yesterday we told you that Gus Malzahn said that they got to do some tweaking because Stidham is still his – I mean, who would have thought in the preseason we were saying Auburn was going to battle for the West that we'd be in October and you'd have Gus Malzahn going, yeah, Stidham's still my quarterback, as if it'd be a question.
Shouldn't be. All right, guys, coming up, we're going to talk about tonight with the Hawks and the pressure on Trae Young. But first, let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Read the room. Room. R-O-O-M is the word. Now text it to 72881. That's 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. It's that easy. We're giving you money, son!
Room. R-O-O-M. Room, guys. You texted to 72881. You heard the man. We've already given away over $3,000. We want to get you guys some loot right now. It's a national contest, but we keep finding winners. Text ROOM to 72881 and answer the phone if somebody calls.
What is Trae Young going to be? We'll talk about it. And what is this Hawks team going to be? The season starts tonight. That's next on Dukes and Bell. Couple of things before we get to the Hawks and the expectations. It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up at 5, it's our Falcon Report. Interesting breakdown of Julio Jones and what's going on in the red zone. Also, Wes Durham's going to join us, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons at 5:20, so stay tuned for that. If you missed it last night, there were allegations, all right, allegations in the ALCS that the Astros were stealing signs. They had a guy, apparently, with the camera. And this became a big deal after the game. If guys were asked about it, they said, it's an MLB thing. MLB today clears the Houston Astros, saying they did not violate any rules, Mike, and Boston fans are losing their minds.
Yeah, but they got some strange guy with a camera wandered around, and he's not affiliated with any specific media group. So that's kind of interesting. Is it Astros.com? He gets to go watch and film the workouts of the Red Sox? That doesn't seem kosher.
Hold on. In fairness, as someone has been a lot of press boxes, a lot of on-the-field stuff, you know, gotten lucky, there's a lot of people that show up with credentials that you wonder,
oh,
you're telling who are
me,
you?
Bo. You're telling
How'd you
me?
Get there? You, yeah. And is that a real website?
You're telling me.
It sounds like somebody didn't get pizza at halftime. Well, anyway, but I hear you. It's a growing concern, Bo. But no, the thing about the Astros, bigger picture than whoever was trying to steal signs against the Red Sox is, the Astros, like a lot of teams, had a chance, and they said, and the Red Sox are one of them, do you want to go get Roberto Osuna from the Blue Jays? And this guy allegedly had beat up his wife. He's a bad dude. Some teams said, thanks, no thanks. Well, this guy's become a punching bag in the series himself. You see the Red Sox light him up, and anybody who had a scouting report, brother, he's owned the Red Sox owned Osuna when he was up there in Toronto. So that was kind of interesting as they blew the game wide open yesterday.
It's a great point. And again, these games have been interesting, but that's really what opened up the game last night, or yesterday afternoon, should I say, for this series. More about that coming up. Let's shift gears and talk about some hoops. Real quick, did you see the new Big Baller brand shoes?
Yeah, I just looked up because you and I were talking off air. And so there's a new lower priced. Who wears these? They look, first of all, they look ridiculous. My grandmother wouldn't wear those things.
Stay in your lane.
You got some Velcro and then you got some laces. It looks like crap. I mean, it looks like the. Now, look, not everybody grew up the same way, but if you were a kid and I'm wearing Clydes today, I'm wearing my Pumas in honor of Clydes. I was watching that at ESPN basketball doc last night. But when you were wearing Clydes, you were lucky enough, your parents either you had a paper route or you could afford them. But there was always some poor kid in your high school that had to get those sneakers from the drugstore or the ones that were in the bin at the supermarket. And that's what the Big Baller things look like.
So just to put this in comparison, and I'm bringing it up because it's crap. Big Baller brand last year was priced, you guys remember this, the ZO2s at $495. Who's buying these shoes?
I mean, I don't know.
Okay, so
does anyone like any of the balls? No. Why would you want to put any money in their pocket? No, I don't get it.
$495 for the ZO2s and up to $695 for bigger shoe sizes. That was the last year's cost. Mike, this year, a price reduction. If you go online and you pre-order, you get this year's version for only $200.
I'm just telling you, they look ridiculous.
I wouldn't pay $695 for retro Jordans, okay?
I mean, look, unless these
and I know they're out there.
Look, unless these shoes come with a supermodel, I'm not spending that kind of money, man. That's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. All right, meanwhile, guys, the Hawks season starts tonight. It is the Knicks. It's Hawks. You heard our man Mike Conte, who's up there in New York, pregame at 7, tip-off at 7:30. And, you know, he mentioned Vince Carter starting tonight because John Collins is out. But there's a lot of talk about the expectations for Trae Young. And what is Trae Young going to be for this Hawks team, this Hawks organization? This is what we know. It's a new era, right? The 60-win team was great. It was a sum of their parts.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we'll always remember. We achieved something we never had gotten to. That was the Eastern Conference Finals. But we didn't ultimately win the big one with all the regular season success we had and even the success we had in the playoffs. But this is a new era. The only guy that remains on this team is Baze from that run, okay? And Baze's role, we'll see what his role is going to be moving forward with this team. But it's really about this young nucleus of Torian Prince and Trae and eventually John Collins when he comes back, Mike, in the next few games. I don't think there's any pressure at all on Trae Young. And the reason is simple. Trae Young showed us, and I think the summer league stuff was, you know, overblown, but he's shown you a couple of things already. One, he gets other guys involved. That's going to be his number one thing as the point guard of this team, is to get other guys open shots and get other guys easy looks. He's going to do that. Two, he's shown you just the other night in a preseason game, he's not afraid of the moment. He took a shot from half court that most guys would have shied away from and knocked it down. He did that in college time in and time out. So I just think the expectations for Trey, when you talk about, oh, he's going to give us 30 a night. No, he's not. But if Trey Young averages 15 a game, potentially, and it may be less, maybe it's 12, but gives you 9 assists a game, I think he's going to have a great season.
I'm with you. And I know that there's some fuel, and he's kind of downplayed it, because we were up there at Hawks Media Day when some of the reporters were asking about how people like ESPN, they're blowing up, but Luka Doncic, he's already the next big thing, when here's a guy who led the entire NC2A in points and assists, and that's got to count for something, okay? I mean, I've never got to see an Olympiakos in person, Carl, or a Burbach of Serbia, but I'm sure they play a mean zone defense. But in the case of this guy, we know he has already got that rock star vibe. He's fearless. He's taking the shots. You talked about the one at half court at Georgia Tech. And now, yes, supporting cast, okay, not the best. Maybe Jeremy Lin can give us some Lin sanity, as Coach Lloyd Pierce was hoping, talking to the media earlier today at the Garden. I don't know. Can you do a pick and roll with who's the guy we got from Phoenix, Alex Len?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just a thought. But look.
And pressure, real quick. Pressure's going to be taken off of him. Speaking of Lin, the other Lin, Jeremy Lin that we have,
right,
is an experienced point guard. Jeremy Lin is not a superstar in this league, but he knows how to play. He's been around.
But as bad or as maybe futile, when you look at this roster and you go, wow, we got, you know, Vince Carter's 100 years old, and, you know, Bembry's still learning his game. Bayes is kind of, you know, Bayes is Bayes. The East is really bad. You can still try to tank it. Or not tank it, Carl, but you can play a lot of rookies, a lot of minutes. Mm-hmm. And still find a way to sneak around 30 wins, 35 wins. And who knows? I don't even think 40 is what you have to get to for the 8th seed this year in the Eastern Conference.
I don't either. I think that if you get to 35, you may be in this season. Here's Trae Young when asked about the pressure.
My mindset is a win. I mean, I want to win right away. I don't want to settle for just knowing that this is a rebuilding stage. I know it's going to be a process to get there. I'm looking forward, and I know this team is looking forward to getting the steps down to do whatever it takes to get this organization back on top.
Now, all summer long, I'm following Trey. I'm talking to people in the league that I know. This guy was everywhere. He's working out with stars, working out with different players around the league and trainers. He was trying to get in as much as he possibly could to prepare himself for the NBA. The reality is nothing prepares you for the NBA. There's only been one LeBron. And Mike and I were having this conversation yesterday. Mike said to me, well, you know how many points LeBron had in his first game ever as an NBA player? Remember, he was straight out of high school, didn't go to college. 25.
25, 9, and 6 was his opening night against Sacramento as a Cav.
That's LeBron. Guys don't come into this league and do that. Kevin Durant, you can go down. Steph Curry didn't do that. It's difficult. So
took Kobe a minute, too.
Yeah, remember, Kobe didn't immediately start when he was with the Lakers. People think he just jumped in and he was a superstar. So with that said, Trey's been trying to do all these different things, Mike. You know, people talk about his size and all of that. Guys, I saw John Stockton in his prime. He wasn't a big guy. Stockton was tough, okay? And my point is, if you can learn how to play this game at this level and at the NBA level, and you have a sense of toughness to you, and I think he does because he's always been kind of slight.
Right.
He's going to be fine, man.
And again, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble. He's about to, you know, open the curtain up in Madison Square Garden tonight. Steve Hallman's 2,500th consecutive Hawks broadcast, which is unbelievable. Mike Conti's up there to help him celebrate. You know, tanking isn't the worst thing either, brother. If you lost, you know, let's say, you know, if you won, you know, about the same amount of games or less, it's not the worst thing.
I think, and the over-under, by the way, if you're wondering, from the folks out there in Vegas, is 23.5, okay? So 24 wins. I think they're going to have more. I asked this question today on Twitter, and we invite you to follow us. 929 The Game. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I mean, I put him up. See, Dukes. I think they're going to have more. You know, some people say you're crazy, 35 wins. 30 to 35, I don't think that's impossible. But, Mike, let's just say we're sniffing 22 or 23.
Right.
If we get to that point in the season, then I'm with you because we already have 3 first-round picks potentially in this next draft. All right, let's increase our chances.
But if you want to be like Golden State, R.J. Barrett from Duke is a nice place to start.
Here you go.
What?
We haven't even tipped off, and you're already taking Duke players.
It's never too early to start looking at the draft.
Come on.
Never. I mean, I'm saying a shooting guard, also known as a 2.
Yes.
Which is something we could use, you know.
Let's see where this thing goes. And by the way.
You want to look at Golden State. You want to have that kind of dynamic.
Let me ask you.
You got to get a fellow Splash. Well, we don't have any lakes around. Well, we have lakes at Lake Near, but Splash, whatever we're going to call the brothers, whoever do that number 2 along with Trey.
What if they get off to a good start? I mean, honestly, what if all of a sudden we look up next week and, you know, they've gotten off to a great start?
Nothing is accomplished.
Now we got a brand new stadium. We got a new arena, State Farm. It's going to be awesome. Got some tickets.
They're going to be fun and entertaining.
Very excited. But yes, I mean, just saying, you know.
They're going to be fun and entertaining. Here's what I know, guys. They're going to shoot the three. And that's going to be fun. Because they're going to be in games, and they're going to be fun to watch because they're going to be shooting
a lot of threes. Romeo Langford from Indiana? He can shoot lights out,
okay.
Man.
You know what? Tip-off's at 7:30 tonight.
I mean, you want to have the Klay Thompson dynamic with the, you know, the Curry thing. I mean,
it is Dukes and Bell coming up next. Yeah, man, no man, as we answer questions for Bo Morgan here on the show.
It's time for Yeah, Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment, and sometimes a surprise question is today's question number one.
All right, guys, coming up at 5 in 20 minutes, the Falcon Report. And remember, the 17th annual Taste of Atlanta returns this weekend. Join 92.9 The Game at Atlanta's must-do food, beer, wine, and cocktail experience. It's Friday, October 19th through Sunday, October 21st in historic Fourth Ward Park, that is. And for tickets and more info, guys, all you need to do is go to 92.9thegame.com to check it out. Bo Morgan, man, what you got working today? Give us something.
All right, well, Bill Belichick was asked today in his press conference if Khalil Mack compares to Lawrence Taylor. And basically, the reporter was trying to, you know, say that he compares to him or is better. And Belichick answered in, well, Belichick kind of way.
Oh, wait a minute, we're talking about Lawrence Taylor now. Yeah, I'm not putting anybody in Lawrence Taylor's class, so. You put everybody down below that. That's with a lot of respect to a lot of good players now, but we're talking about Lawrence Taylor.
I'd have to agree with Mumbles on that one. LT is the greatest of all time.
All right, listen. I don't want you guys to think I sound jaded. Lawrence Taylor was a bad dude, okay? 9-time, hear me closely, All-Pro. Not Pro Bowl. 9. He was a guy that completely changed the position of edge rusher and linebacker in this league. From the time prior to LT, Mike, to after he got done, it was, how do we go find an LT? Right. Everybody in the league has been looking for that guy since he's gotten done. I agree with Belichick on this. Call me jaded, whatever. Oh, there have been so many great players.
How are you jaded? Well, he's the greatest of all time.
Well, because people live in the moment, and people will tell you that they've seen guys as good or they've seen guys that can get after the quarterback like LT. I don't buy it.
All right, time out. Let's see if Mac can do it all zooted the way LT did it. Let's see if he can show up an hour before kickoff with handcuffs because he just spent a night with a couple of wackadoodles. No, man, LT, imagine if he had his head on straight and Belichick was there to see it because he was a DC, one of the greatest defenses that ever dressed out.
Giants, yeah.
I think the point, too, is that when people talk about LT and Jerry Rice, they don't talk about the greatest at their position. They talk about the greatest football players possibly of all
ever.
Time.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Khalil Mack's just the greatest from the 2014 draft.
And Khalil Mack may go on to Canton because he's having – look, Khalil Mack is doing Lawrence Taylor-like
things.
But he's got to do it for a longer piece of time. And then we'll say, yes, you are that kind of guy. Bobby Hebert, next time we get him on, I was telling Carl earlier, tells a great story about it. I think it was 88 or 89. And LT gets 3 sacks in the Superdome, and he's kicking his own left tackle. And come on, get him off me, because I can't get it. And he's crying in the huddle. Yeah, that's the kind of effect LT had on people.
For me, real quick, Bo, it's yeah, man, no, man. We're both like, yeah, man, we agree with Belichick on that. But for me, all right, Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor. Start there, and then let's continue to talk about the best defensive players ever. Reggie was almost unblockable, and so was Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, and I mean, pretty soon Marcus Davenport's name could be on there too.
Yeah, man.
Long way to go, bro.
Saying all rookie defensive team right now for Davenport.
Long way to go. You know what? That's embarrassing. You even put him in the conversation with the question with Lawrence Taylor.
Tell you what, man. These guys putting up numbers. Anyway, here's the next question.
I'll do anything for a laugh, Carl.
I see that.
All right, last night, the NBA on TNT, you know, Kenny Smith, Shaq, Charles Barkley, EJ, all the guys were talking about the Warriors. And what they could do this year. And Kenny Smith had a really interesting take on how many wins they could get.
This team, me and Chuck joked about it in the back and even at halftime. If they focused in and said, you know what, we're going to lock in, they would go like 78, 79 wins. They have very few holes. They just get bored at times. They get careless.
You're saying they would go 78-4.
Yeah, they focus.
No, come on.
I agree with that, Kenny.
I don't think
they focus every game.
They would lose 4 games. Yeah.
There is nobody
who focus every game. Is it possible to have that kind of laser focus for the length of an NBA?
No,
no, it's not.
No, it's not.
Well, it is if you're not worried about a playoff.
Yeah.
But if you're worrying about a playoff, you're like, nah, he's going to sit. I'm going to take.
You mean if it was just, hey, whoever has the best record?
Oh, they go. They won 79. They won 79 games
easily.
They go 79-3.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
I love the big fella. What up, Shaq? Kenny, you know you're our guy. Come on, man. 79. What?
Best ever. 69-13. The Lakers, of course, the 33-game win streak. The Golden State Warriors back in 14-15 and 15-16 reeled off 28. So, I mean, look, you hung on at 108-100 to beat a team without Russell Westbrook last night. So, I mean, it's like if you wanted to roll everybody out there, Carl, and give maximum effort. And I think what the guys are dancing around very delicately is nobody in the NBA gives maximum effort for 82 nights. You just don't.
That's right.
Not anymore.
I'm going to tell you, and I think Shaq was saying it, you can't keep laser focus for 82 games. Too many things go on off the court. I've been around it. Guys, it doesn't happen. There are nights, to be real with you, that guys just tell a coach, I need a rest. I'm not playing tonight.
That's usually when I buy courtside tickets.
It is exactly right.
No, but here's the thing. Look, also because Steve Kerr coming from the Popovich coaching tree, they took the second seed. Even with Houston, all the big bad Rockets were going to be. Remember, they still found a way to get it done in the West. So I think you got, especially with an older team now, the Golden State is starting to become. You got to give guys rest and take guys out, especially after the All-Star break, to have them fresh for the playoffs.
But if there were no playoffs, if it was just the best record wins,
they could do it. But it's not, and I'm willing to tell you that Golden State, I said this a couple of days ago, I don't think they care about seeding. You already shown last year you could beat the best team in the conference who went out of their way to get home court in the Rockets. I don't think it's that important to them. You know what's more important? Kevin Durant getting another ring and them three-peating than it is to have that record. But that's interesting stuff from Shaquille O'Neal and Kenny.
Yeah, the guy's always good. They're always good. They give good stuff.
They're the best.
All right. A waitress in south of Busby, around Montana, got a tip. She got a $50 tip. And she went and bought a scratch-off lottery ticket and turned it into $70,000.
Nice.
So it's pretty good for her. Now she's going to share it with her family, but... Yeah, that's a pretty generous tip. So, yeah, man, no, man, she should have shared it with the guy who gave her the tip.
That's how Mike and I tip. What are you talking about?
Yeah, man.
We what do you mean,
like the movie with Nicolas Cage and Bridget Fonda where he's the cop? It could happen to you. Look, Craig knows bad movies. It could happen to you where he promises to split the lottery ticket. Yeah. And Rosie Perez was his girlfriend. Yeah, why not, man? But, yeah, that's very sweet of him and her, whoever the person that tipped to do that. Good for her.
Do we know how much the bill was?
We do not.
Okay.
But I'm assuming it, I mean, it sounded like it was kind of like a little cafe or something. Okay. So it was probably just a regular that, you know, took care of her.
It's like $5 on a $12 tip.
Okay. Should she, and the question is, should she?
Yeah, should she, you know, give him a little, you know, here's a grand, thanks for the money.
You know what, when you tip someone, that's the tip, right? What they do with it, Mike, from that point on,
right
is theirs.
Right
on. I'm not going to, I mean, listen. I mean, if she wanted to share, but she doesn't have an obligation to do that.
No, I mean, if the guy was a bum and he left her like a buck and then she spent it on, then you might want to throw the guy some coin, man.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's a bummer. I'm just saying. I mean, you know.
Yeah, man. I'm going to say no to that. That she, no. No, man.
Okay, well, you're not generous. All right. So, a 14-year-old stole his mother's BMW to go see his girlfriend. And there's a video that's now going viral of the woman speeding up beside the BMW, yelling for him to scream, get over, pull over. So he pulls over. The video, I guess her daughter's filming or someone, she goes, give me the belt. She takes the belt on the side of the interstate, opens the door, and she said, look, I saw him smirking. So she beats him with the belt on the side of the road. So, yeah, man, no, man, you would beat your child if they stole your car with a belt.
Well, I stole my father's car, and that was one of the epic beatings I took as a child. So I don't have any kids, Carl. This is your department.
You know, I don't want to sound like a... Yes. Yes, man. Yes. There's no doubt. Because I know that's what would have happened to me. Mike is lucky to be alive after stealing his dad's car.
You know the story on that one.
I do.
My buddy Munson told it. My buddy Munson calls me up, and he's like, so did your dad find out? I'm like, no, he'd never know. And all of a sudden, all Munson hears on the other end is me. The phone drops to the floor. Pow, 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 and then dial tone. And Munson's like, do I call 911? What do I do?
I can't even imagine. Honestly, I can't even imagine stealing my parents' car and being here. So
I took my old man's old 442 Cutlass down to the Jones Beach.
Like
for a joyride with a bunch of chicks from Levittown.
Yeah. Was it worth it?
Her name was Cookie.
I bet you do remember her name.
We took my best friend's, his stepdad had a Corvette. It was like an 83. This was like 2000, 99. And they were out of town. So we took it to Villarica and back because we lived in Dallas.
The thing is, I didn't have a driver's license. I was 15. But here's that's a compounded.
We were of age.
Yeah, here's the deal. Of age or not of age, I can't even imagine doing this. But, you know, those who believe in corporal punishment, all right, and
I'm sorry. In our house, we do not discipline our children physically.
Okay. Well, that's what I was about to say. If this is your child and they steal your car, what are you putting them in timeout?
You know, Jeremy, we don't take other people's things without their permission.
Well, you could just prosecute them and let them go to jail for grand theft auto, or you could beat them with a belt.
I mean, I'm projecting that guy, the kid that was kicking my seat on the last flight.
I was going to say, I don't know who you're making fun of there.
Now, Jeremy, we don't kick the person. Why don't you just smack your kid, sir? Do us all a favor.
Next time, hand him your belt, Mike.
He'll hand it back. That's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to use it.
You know the
belt.
Big lady was sitting next to me? She goes, damn right. I turned around and yelled at that kid.
You know what? As soon as you pull out a belt, if you pull out a belt, people are pulling out their phones.
Oh, forget about it.
Okay.
Forget about it.
You're not spanking your kids in public right now. Everybody's like, oh, my God, get your phone.
Oh, we had the girl in Marietta. The dude from a child care had two kids in his protection. And the ladies, is everything okay? So everybody's a nosy Nelly now. You know what? Mind your own business.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, Bo. Coming up, Falcons report. The latest on Julio Jones. It is what we are calling the curious case of Julio Jones in the red zone. We'll explain.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.